You are listening to Keep It Real with Terry and Sonny. And today is December the 24th. It's Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Tomorrow is Christmas.
Yep.
And we've been talking about Christmas or Christ's birthday, really, for the last 5 weeks, I think it was.
Yeah.
And today we're gonna talk one more time about it. And the special day is tomorrow. You know, and we've been talking about the reason and why and how, you know, yeah, everything getting, about Christ's birthday,
it's
right?
It's getting exciting. It's getting close.
It's getting close, right. So, and today we're going to start off. The title is going to be The Gift, right? And you can see I brought a gift. Everybody looks at that, right? Everybody like that. I know what that is.
Yeah.
Right? It's the gift. Everybody knows, well, I got a present. You know, if you're giving that to somebody, what's in there, you know? And that's what, you know, and I don't, you know, personally, I don't have nothing about giving gifts on Christmas. You know, I think that's a good thing.
Me too.
You know,
I like it.
You give gifts and you give gifts and people give you gifts. So what's
wrong? That's the best part.
So that's good. But we should, when we're talking about Jesus' birthday, he is the gift.
Come on.
The number one special gift from God. And it's all about the love God had for us, okay? And you want to share on that?
Yeah. You're right. God's gift is the biggest gift that we could ever receive. It's the gift of salvation. You know what I'm saying?
But,
you know, because like I said before, you know, without that we would be lost. You know, mm-hmm. So it is an awesome thing that God so loved the world, like we said last week, that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, and that's the biggest gift anybody could ever get is the gift of salvation.
Amen. And you know. The gift. I want to keep showing my bag, okay? Because I want y'all to relate that the gift. You know, it's like, oh, what's the best? Man, if you get a gift and you look at it, oh man, I love that gift. You know, it's like, especially if it's something you wanted. And but man, when we Christmas Day, we should be thinking about the Jesus is the number one gift. When you give some time and thank God and just give him, thank him, you know. And we should have a grateful heart. And don't forget about his birthday.
Yeah.
On his birthday, you know.
Yeah, you see that a lot, Terry. Yeah. Not by people that don't have great grateful hearts, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And everything. So when you see somebody that's just with a grateful heart, it just makes you feel so much better when you do give the gift, you know what I'm saying? And it's like that with God. When God gave his son and everything for us, and when we're grateful for that, and we accept what he did, and everything, it just makes God so much happier. Not that God ain't happy already with us, but it's like the only way we can explain it from a human standpoint is when we see it in our own lives. So imagine how it affects us. So and we can still imagine that it's the same way with God. When we accept Jesus and we're happy what He did for us and everything, it just makes God so much more happy.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? That's the way I see it.
Right. And you know, when you get a gift, you know, and you look at it, and the gift could be beautiful.
Exactly.
You know, whatever it is, it could have value. You know, so there's a lot into a gift. I mean, a lot of people, some people go too far their way to get a gift, you know. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Especially if you got to get more, if you got a bunch of people you got to give gifts to, you know.
Yeah. Well, I remember my grandma. She used to buy like 120 presents,
Whoa.
And I was only buying each person one gift.
Yeah, that's all you go get.
You know what I'm saying?
Like you go get one.
It was like 100.
No, if I'd have been at the end of that list, I'd have, oh God, please don't let
me. I remember when I was a little boy. My grandparents would buy me a big gift
because
I was one of the first grandkids that they had. So when they only had one grandkid, boy, I remember I used to get some Transformers and all kind of nice things. And when I became a grown man, my grandma, she still believed in grandpa. They still believed in buying presents for the kids.
That's awesome.
And but the only thing is by the time I was a grown man, she had all these kids. And because she had all these grandkids, she still bought them each one. So my gift went from being a $40, $50 gift to being a $2 gift.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what? I was still thankful because you know what? Some people sometimes they're not thankful for the little thing.
Right.
But you know what? For them to do that, it showed their heart. Because they want every, they believed in Christmas. They love Christmas. They were the type of people, they would decorate their house. They put decorations out and everything because they was into the Christmas spirit and everything. And, you know, that's the thing right now. People are into that spirit. You know, true, you see true. It around here. People are just happy. They're right. joyful. You know, well, most people, not everybody.
Not some everybody.
People,
but
so there's always Ebenezers, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it, plus it's, sometimes it's hard because somebody might have lost a loved one.
Right, exactly, and exactly.
It's hard to, especially if it's the first time.
Exactly.
The first time you lost somebody and it's the first time. And
exactly.
You know, that's hard.
That's always hard when you go through this situation, you know what I'm saying? Right. But even in that, most people are in a joyful spirit, in a giving spirit, and in a loving spirit, and it's the time for that. It's time to enjoy that.
You know, and I can remember when I was real young, little, I had a bunch of presents.
Right.
You know? And I mean, and I probably had too many, you know. And as I got older, they'd get less and less until I got to be a teenager. And they, most of the gifts you want as a teenager and older, it's expensive.
Exactly.
It says, well, you're down to one gift. You better make it count. You know, and that was it. I got one.
That's what I mean.
I can remember when I was real little, it looked like I had 10, 12 presents, man. And you know, and some of this stuff was nice. And then as I got older and older, it got less and less. And then when I got to be a teenager,
for me, it was an adverse thing. When I was young, my parents were really poor. So we only had one gift for Christmas. But as we got older, they started making more money. And we started getting a few more presents and everything. But you know what? I tell you what. Even in that situation, Terry, I remember we lost our house. Our house burned down. We lost everything we had right before Christmas. And even in that situation, my parents went to the store. They went to a gas station because they didn't have no credit at the time.
Right.
They didn't have no money to do layaway because they lost everything.
Right.
They went to a gas station and they knew a man at the gas station. All I know is I don't know if they ever paid him back or not for this, so I don't know. But they let him borrow the money to buy us each a little gift.
Wow.
And you know what? I still remember to this day what that gift was. It was a little chalkboard. That's all it was a chalkboard. And it was a little chalkboard with some chalkboard. Yeah. And I remember what my sister got. My little sister got a little China doll.
Yeah.
I remember that. You know what? But all the other Christmases, I can't even remember that none of the presents.
Wow.
But for that Christmas, some reason or other, it stuck with me because of what the traumatic situation in my life. And I remember it so much. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I went through the same thing, but with my kids.
Right.
Because in the 80s, when all field, for the people who don't know it, all field just crashed, you know, and I went about five years without working, this part-time stuff.
Right.
And it was one Christmas, didn't know if we were going to have any Christmas because I didn't have any money, you know. And so we believe in God, and believe in God a lot. I really learned how to operate in faith in those years because you had to. So somebody blessed us, right, you know, maybe a week or so before Christmas, with not a lot of money, but enough money to buy presents, but maybe not the, you know, real expensive presents. So what we did... You know, we went, and our kids knew that, okay? They were old enough to understand what was going on. They were still little, though, but they knew. Man, we went and just bought a bunch of cheap presents. But they all had a whole bunch of presents, man. I think it was just exciting to see a lot of presents and just to find them opening it up. They ate that up. And Nicole was my oldest daughter. She today would say that was one of the best Christmas they ever had.
Wow,
And it was all a lot of stuff that didn't last. But we had, we don't have a certain amount of money, we just had to buy stuff.
Well, you know, you stop and think about a lot of stuff, like jacks and marbles and all that stuff. That stuff would last, that stuff was pretty durable, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That stuff would last a long time. You know, the stuff we get nowadays is like that too, it don't last, you know what I mean? Because it's just made, it's not made to the quality that those things used to be made and everything.
That's true.
But you know, something simple like jacks and marbles and all that. Man, you know how many hours and hours of fun we had with that, you know what I'm saying, playing that, playing them games and everything, cards and everything, and it's like it never got boring. It was always exciting, you know what I'm saying. Not now, the games you get, you like play it one time. I don't play that no more. Yeah, like,
they're so expensive,
you know. Nowadays. Exactly.
Yeah, Xbox, man. It's a computer, man. That's what they are.
Yeah, like
PlayStation,
exactly.
Man. This, you know, it's expensive stuff. But again, going back to the number one true gift is Jesus. Okay, and him, you look at that gift, he's beautiful. You know, we talked about a gift being beautiful. And there's so much value in that gift, Jesus.
Right.
You know, and it's like, look what it says on here. I don't know if y'all notice on camera, but it says, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Christmas is.
Well, and actually it's Christ's birthday is. Okay, that's really the reason why we celebrate, okay? And And you know that a lot of people get in the spirit, you know, and it's all about the love and the giving and the receiving, and everybody's just more happy and everything. But
you can really see it if you look at it. It's moving the ribbon out of the way right here a little bit.
The most wonderful time of the year. That's that saying, you know. Yeah. Right. You know. So.
I think about the Charlie Brown cartoon. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the. I don't want to be biased to it, but I'm kind of biased to it because I think it's one of the most awesome cartoons they got.
Right.
It's because they stop in there and then they got a little segment in it, in the Christmas one. It actually, and where Charlie Brown's lost and he doesn't know what Christmas is about.
Right.
And, you know, and then that's when Linus comes up and tells him, he said, like, how, Charlie Brown, how, does anybody know what the real meaning of Christmas is? You remember watching that part? It's like, and Linus comes up, everybody gets quiet. Right. He gets a little spotlight shining on him, you know what I'm saying? And then he goes on to a narrative and tells about Christ being born in the stable and everything, and the real meaning of Christmas. But the truth about it is, we stop and think about that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the world, that's where they're at right now. They do not know what the real meaning of Christmas is.
No,
they don't
no.
know what it is. They no. don't know about the gift that God gave to us on the cross, dying for our sins and everything. They don't know it.
And
they're not really saying that. They're not really out there asking what the real meaning of Christmas is, but they are. Because the world is, the Bible said the world groans. All creation groans for God.
Right.
And they're groaning for something. But the thing about it is they're looking and they're searching out there for something, but they don't know what they're searching for. And it's our job as Christians to point them to the light.
Amen.
That they can see where the Christ is, what Christ is doing.
Right, exactly. And that gives me the next part I want to bring us to is that, you know, we need to celebrate that day because it's Christ's birthday.
Right.
Celebrate it, okay? But we also need to share it. Okay, a lot of people say, well, they don't feel like they really know enough to share or they'll mess it up.
Right.
Well, I'm going to give you a real easy way today how to share this. And all you need is a candy cane. That's how you say it, right? A candy cane, right. I mean, I don't eat sugar no more, so you won't see none around my house. Okay. But I can remember when they used to hang them on Christmas trees, you know. But I just found out that Friday night. I was listening to Joshua Mills' Bible study, and he was sharing on this, how all this relates to Jesus. You know, a candy cane, the original one, you know, the white and red one, you know. The reason why I was so stunned is that I've been involved in children's church for 35 years, and I never came across that. I don't remember that. And I would love to have that to share to the kids, because I was always trying to find some object lesson or something. The gospel, and you know he shared a lot of stuff, but he had a lot more detail where it really started at. You know, it started in Europe and German. It was a German, and then it eventually came to America, and we added some things to it. But I got 8 little steps that I want to talk about what each one means. A simple candy cane. And sorry, I wanted to get one, you know, but I think everybody knows what a candy cane is, right?
Right.
Now we're talking about one with the hook.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know what? I did a study on that. That's the most candy that's sold in Christmas time.
Wow. Come on. I didn't know
over
that.
Over chocolate and everything. You know? Wow.
More that's than chocolate. Yeah. I didn't know
and,
that.
And when I'm talking about the one that's shaped like
a J, upside down J. Right.
Okay. Because all the rest of the year, they might just make the little stick ones, you know? But Christmas time, you usually see that kind. That's the one I'm talking about. And the first thing I want to say, and I have scriptures to relate to this stuff, because anything we share, we want to have scripture to back it up, okay? And we're talking about candy cane now. The hard candy remind us that Jesus is our rock on whom we can depend on.
Wow.
You know?
Come on.
You know? Because it's considered a hard candy, you know? Or rock candy. Back then, they used to call it a rock candy because it was hard, okay? Rock candy. And you can relate that to what I just said, you know? Because Jesus is our rock.
Right.
So you can share that with that candy cane to kids or anybody who wants to listen to it. All right. And if you look up in Psalms 31:3, it talks about that Jesus is our rock.
Yeah.
And our fortress. Okay. Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to go and try to read all of them, but I'm gonna tell you where you're at and you can go back and read it. Okay. The next one, the peppermint flavor reminds us of the spices from the wise men. You know.
Come on.
And we did a lesson a few weeks back on the wise men. And these spices, you know, because some of these spices are very expensive, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, you know, I want to catch something on that rock part. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I want to say something about that, you know, because. You know, you kind of mentioned it a while ago when we was talking about how, you know, some people are not happy because they might have just went through things, you know,
right, right.
And situation. And, you know, that's the point about Jesus being the rock. You know, when you're going through tribulations, when you're going through hard time, because look, unfortunately, the truth of the matter is life happens to everybody.
Right. Yeah.
Somebody at one time in their life is going to go through something
bad.
You
live long enough. Yep.
And I hate to say it, and if you haven't went through it yet, I don't want to say it, I don't want to depress you about it, especially not today because tomorrow's Christmas, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But life just happens to everybody. But you know the truth about it is Jesus being the rock, he's always dependable.
Right.
He's always there, no matter what happens, no matter what the situation. We can look to this book right here, mm-hmm. and in the book, we're going to have the answer to our problems.
Amen.
Every situation that you might go through, the answer is going to be through there. Now, it's not gonna stop you from going through stuff, but it can help you from going through a lot of things, though. Yeah. You know, a lot of situations, if you follow the examples in this word, and you don't do what they did, and you listen to the word of God, and you follow things, your life can be a lot easier. But even in that, if you follow everything to the letter and follow it perfect, the Bible said that Jesus was tried, and he said, you shall be tried also.
Amen,
you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
You're going to go through tribulations. But Jesus said, but be of good cheer. He said, for I have overcome the world.
Right.
So when you're going through those things, having the rock, having Jesus makes every situation better. You know what I'm saying?
And I will say the memory script on that one, that Jesus is our rock, okay? And that hard rock candy, you can relate that to Jesus. It's in Psalms 31:3. And God's word says, you are my rock and my fortress, for the honor of your name leads me out of this danger.
Right, exactly. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You trust in Jesus and you love and you believe in him there, and he's going to lead you out of the danger.
Amen. And the second one, I'm going to repeat it again, is the peppermint flavor among us as the spices from the wise men. And that's in Matthew 2:11. You might want to share a little bit on that while I find
You know, and the thing about it is, and that goes, the spices, and the word, like you said, but that represents repetition of the gifts, you know what
right.
I mean? And, you know, with the gifts, you know, sometimes, I let me see if I can say this correctly, because I don't want to say where I guess somebody upset, but... You know, we gotta be in a giving spirit when the holidays come around.
Right, amen.
We gotta be in a spirit where you know, because we have a lot of needs in our life. We have things that we need and everything. You know, but everybody's like that, especially right now. If they're going through this thing, everybody's going through a lot of hard times and everything. But even in that, we still gotta be in a spirit where we're giving, just like the wise men gave.
Right.
We gotta be in that spirit where we're giving to people, where we're blessing people. You should always be. You can't get so caught up where your focus just becomes you. That's what the enemy wants you to do.
Amen.
So and then the wise men, mm-hmm. you look, they went out of their way to give a gift.
Amen. Amen.
You know what I'm saying? That's really being traveling. What's 300 miles?
Well, was anywhere from 800 to 900 miles.
800 to 900 miles.
A long time back then.
On a camel.
Yeah.
Through the desert to give a gift. You know what I'm saying? That's committed. You know what I'm saying? That's committed. You know what I'm saying? And that just goes to show you their heart. You know what I'm saying? And that should be our heart. I ain't saying we should travel 800-900 miles.
No.
But I say we should be blessing people.
Again, though, we could get in a jet if we want.
Exactly.
That, you know?
Exactly.
You should give a car wouldn't take that long.
Right. You know? But, you know, I think the biggest thing about giving gifts is give your best.
Right. That's true.
When you
give, God gave his best.
God gave his best. And when he gave his gift, he gave his best. I think we should give somebody, when we bless somebody, give them your best you can give them, whatever that is.
Right. And that scripture you can find in Matthew 2:11. And I'm going to read it. It says, they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened up their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Wow.
And that they just named those, but I bet they had a treasure chest. Oh, tell what I had in there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, remember telling what
I had? I had 5,000 of these. Who knows?
And you don't know how much gifts they gave them, how much gold, frankincense, and myrrh they gave them. You know what I'm saying? Because gold's kind of heavy, but frankincense is not as heavy. Right. And myrrh is a little bit heavy because it's an oil. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But so I'm at, you never know.
Right, you're right. Okay, the third one. Now we're talking about the candy cane.
Right.
I'm talking about just the regular original. The white with the red stripes. Okay, all right, and the third one is that the white in the candy reminds us how Jesus is sinless and holy, right?
Exactly.
And you can say, this is great for kids. If you want to share the gospel, anybody want to listen, man, this is perfect, man.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll find that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Okay, and the white part of the candy.
Right. And the white represents the salvation of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Because we're made pure. And there's a scripture in the Bible that said that when God told them to put on new garments onto the people and everything, and white clean garments and linen and everything. And that's how Christ makes us. We're washed in the blood. But we're not stained with the blood. We're made white with the blood. We're made clean and everything. Right.
And you can find that in 2 Corinthians 5:21, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:21, and it says, "For God made Christ, who was sinless, to be the offer for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ," okay? You know, right?
Right.
So it had to be somebody sinless and holy to die on that cross, you know?
Right. And, you know, I was listening to a preacher this week, and he was talking about the Christmas, because a lot of preachers are talking about the Christmas message this time of the year, you know what I'm saying? Because it's Christmas, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, he was talking about the blood, and he was talking about how the blood, and, you know, he said that scientists actually found out that none of the blood of the mother goes into the child.
Really?
None. The scientists studied it. He said that's why a mama can be like an A type blood or AB or something like that, but the child be just a completely different type. Because the blood of the mother doesn't enter into the child. Mm-hmm. The child makes his own blood. And it goes to show you that like when Christ was being born of a virgin and everything, Christ was born of Mary. But he didn't have none of Mary's blood in her. You know what I'm saying? Now he got the nutrients, because she was talking about how you get the nutrients from the mama and everything. How the mama gives the nutrients and through the umbilical cord and everything. Right. But he didn't have the D. He was born as a man. But he was still 100% God.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he born just like we was born. But because he didn't have the blood of the mother in there, and he didn't have the blood of the father.
Right.
So he became that's how he was able to be sinless.
Right.
Right. Because the sin is in the blood, and because the Bible even talks about that in the Bible, it said the life and death life is in the blood.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Because the life is in there. Right. So Jesus was able to come. So because of that, Jesus was pure, and when he was born, he didn't have the sin nature in him,
right.
And because he didn't have and that's why nobody else could do it before Jesus, because we all had sin nature in us. It was just in us from the garden. We all was there, and Jesus was able to do it. So he had a fresh start, and even when he had that fresh start, he was still tempted in all the ways, just like us,
right?
You know, so he did it without sinning.
Yeah. I mean, the one that had to be nailed on the cross and take away our sins so we can be made right with God again. It had to be a man.
Right.
But it had to be God too.
Exactly. Because man just couldn't do it. No, man, on his own, man could not do it. God had to make another way.
You look at Jesus. He was human because he was born from a human.
Right.
Mary. Okay.
Right.
But he was God because it was a miracle birth from the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit got her pregnant.
Right.
And that's the God part, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. He was fully God, and he gave up his and anybody even talks about that. They say he came a little lower than the angels.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing that's a little lower than the angels is us. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So he came as a man. And you know what? And he endured everything, you know. People read the scriptures and everything, but and see in there, it talks about the three times when Jesus was tested and everything. Mm-hmm. But if you read it too, it also says says that Jesus was tested in all ways like us.
Yeah, everything.
It points out those three.
Everything.
But he was tried in more areas than that. Because if you read through the context, just of his life, you can see areas where he was tested. Yeah. Not in the time in the desert time, but just other times.
Yeah.
Where he was tested. You know what I'm saying? Like when Lazarus died, he was tested right there to go before the time to raise Lazarus from the dead. Right. Because they warned him to go right then and there.
Right.
But he said, no, let's wait. Right. We're going to wait a while. Because that was God's plan.
Amen. Jesus, you know, in the Bible, it made a big point about how Jesus was tested from the devil. He went 40 days without eating, and he was tempted from the devil, okay? That was to show us how to do it.
Right. That was exactly. You know?
And that's how Jesus did it from there on.
Right.
And then the other time he was in the garden was another big time. I mean, that was so hard that he almost wanted. He said, "I want to pass this cup."
Yeah, away. He did want to pass it.
He caught himself and said, "No."
But he said, "Nope.
This is why I'm here. This was my mission. This is why I'm called." The same mankind. Okay. And again, he did the same thing. He basically did the same thing. They didn't break it up. He did the same thing he did in the desert. You know.
I think Terry. I think that's why. The death is so fearful to everybody. Yeah, it was even fearful to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, not that Jesus was afraid of it, but Jesus didn't want to go through it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and so a lot of people wrestle with that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But when Jesus came back, he made it such a point to show them that death had no more power.
Right. But the sting out of death.
He said, look, feel me. I'm not a ghost. Right, he said, touch me, feel me. He ate. He wanted to show them. And there must have been something so powerful in seeing that happening that changed the disciples' lives. It wasn't because before they seen Jesus, they was not changed.
No, because it
even shows you. They even went back. Peter went back to fishing. He went back to doing exactly what he was doing before.
Right.
But when he seen Jesus alive, that changed him life. That gift right there was the gift of all gifts.
How many really believed that he was coming back?
They were talking about it, but I don't know if they actually believed it. Because Jesus, there's a scripture in Luke 24 at the end where he talks about they was walking on the road and everything, and Jesus went there,
and he pretty much
rebuked him,
right.
And then he started going back through all the scriptures. He said, "Didn't Moses say this? Didn't the prophet say this?"
Yeah. You know, we learn through that what they went
exactly
through. Because we do that. You know God real well, but all of a sudden you got this obstacle. And I know what the word says, but then you kind of in your mind is it really going to happen?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's an old saying that he used to say, here's the big thumb, squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, and always pushing the man down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't talk about that no more, but that was an old saying back in the time and everything.
Right.
And you know, that's how it is. You're always getting pushed down, but you got to remember that Jesus is always pushing you up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. He can break you through anything. You know what I'm saying?
We're going to get back to the candy cane.
Right.
Okay? because you could just rattle. I mean, not say rattle, but we could just talk so much about God. You get in the car, and you can talk. Okay, so anybody can talk a lot about God and this wonderful present Jesus on his birthday. We should celebrate. Another one is that the shape reminds us of a staff, like the shepherd's staff.
Right.
Okay, you know, and that Jesus is our good shepherd. Now, you can find that in John 10:14. The whole chapter, it talks about the good shepherd and his sheep. That whole chapter, John 10:14, that whole chapter talks about it. But I want one scripture I'm going to bring out. It's 14. He said, I am the good shepherd. That's Jesus. I know my own sheep, and they know me. You know? It's saying right there, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Okay?
Yep.
And the candy cane, it's shaped like that. It's shaped like a
the shepherd's rod.
And it was good about it. You can hang it on a tree. And people used to do that. And some people might still do that. They hang it on a tree.
Well, not only that, but nothing to it. I don't know if you noticed about this part about it. The shepherd's staff, they would with the thing, they actually grab the sheep and kind of hook the sheep and pull them back when they go on their own way. You know what I'm saying?
I remember that staff?
Uh-huh.
It's when the old Broadway shows, when they want to get somebody off the stage, you know, bad or something. Hey, come on. I remember that on TV, man.
Yeah. But you know, there's a show I watched and everything, and it talked about how even when Jesus is out of sight, like a good shepherd, he still goes before us and he's leading the way. And the shepherd always goes before the sheep and he clears the way. He makes a way that you can pass. God, and God, that's what God did. When he walked the earth and he everything he did, he made a way for us to be able to pass.
Amen.
That we don't have to live a life of sin no more. We don't have to live a life where we're always messing up. We don't have to live the life separated from Christ, you know, and everything. And even in the time of the disciples, before Jesus was birthed, they were looking for Jesus because they even asked John, are you the Messiah?
Mm-hmm.
And that was before Jesus even came on the scene. So people have been looking for Jesus for a long time.
Amen.
And that's why when Jesus came, he came as a shepherd because he wanted to lead his flock back to Christ.
Amen. Okay.
Back to God. I'm sorry.
All right. Hey, praise God. I'm just looking for the next one, y'all. The next one is if you take that candy cane and you turn it upside down, it makes the letter J.
Wow.
So if you take the candy cane, you turn it upside, upside down, it makes a J. Unless and of course, ate, we know that stands for Jesus.
Unless you ate the bottom off.
Well, don't do that. Tell about Jesus, then you can eat it, right?
That's my favorite part, man, the little hug thing. You
be disciplined, man. You're going to teach the Bible. I mean, I know the kids, and don't give the kids until you finish, because they're probably going to bite
you. Know? Some reason or other, the little J is the best part. I don't know why. I don't know. The flavors in that, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know, man.
Goodness of God.
So the upside is a J, and that stands for Jesus.
Right.
And in Matthew 1:21, it says, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
Right.
Name them Jesus.
Emmanuel.
Okay. All right. And then the next one is the color red. We already talked about white, but it's white. The whole thing's white, but it's striped with red.
Right.
And it says the color red reminds us of God's love for us, that he sent his son to die for our sins. John 3:16. And we talked about that last week, John 3:16 and 17, man.
Right.
You know.
And that was the gift. You know what I'm saying? The gift of salvation was the gift to give to us.
Right.
But in order to do that, he had to die for us, because the Bible said life is in the blood, sin is in the blood. And because the sin is in the blood, the sin had to be paid for. You know, we just couldn't be reconciled into God, because God, and you know, it's kind of hard to explain and understand why God had to. Why sin separated us from God? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And but the thing about the only way you can explain it is you gotta know who God is.
Right.
God's holy. God's love. And he's not. He doesn't love. He is love.
Amen.
And because he is love, there's no darkness in him. And because there's no darkness in him, you can't come in him, into his presence with sin.
Amen.
So there had to be an atonement made. And the only way it was to do it, you couldn't fix God because God was perfect. So what God had to do, God had to fix man.
True.
And that way God, man can get back into God's presence. And so what God did, God said, man, he tried. And you know, the scripture talks about how they had God first send the prophets. He kept sending them. But they killed all the prophets. And then he said, surely if I send my son, they'll accept him. But they didn't. They killed him too. But when they did that, God made the atonement that for our sins and everything. And then now the blood has the red of the blood has now washed as white as snow. So we're clean when we accept Christ.
Amen. Okay, the next one. The next one is the stripes on the candy cane, and we know they're red, but also the stripes on the candy reminds us of the stripes we are healed.
Yeah.
By Christ Jesus' stripes, we are healed. All right? And look at 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. Let's see if I got this right. Okay, is that the right 24? I think that's the right one. I marked my Bible, but I've done over all the lessons. I mark a bunch of places, and sometimes it's hard to make sure I got the right one. Let's read it and find out. Okay, that's how you know. Somebody preaches the word of God, you should go back and read it.
By his stripes, we are healed.
Okay, sure. Let's see if this is the right one. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for right, which was right. By his wounds, you are healed. So it basically says, by his wounds, you are healed. All right.
Yep.
Right? No. Those stripes. I mean, you know, when they arrested Jesus and he went to trial and all that, you know, before he went to the cross and had to carry the cross, they whipped him.
Yeah.
You know, and he got, and look, they said that he was so bad you couldn't even recognize him. You know?
Right.
You know?
And you know, the thing about it was that's what, oh my gosh, that's just what makes the gift so much better.
Yes.
You know, you stop and think about this. He didn't have, that was kind of an extra almost, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, you stop and think about it. He dying for our sins just in that by itself would have been enough.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it was like, and that goes to show you the nature of God. God is an over-the-top God.
Right.
God, not only did he die for our sins and gave his life that we can have life more abundantly, he also came and he said, well, look, I don't want you just to have life in this life, in the afterlife. I want you to have life in this life.
Amen.
And,
yeah.
And so by doing that, he said, look, you don't have to be all the time sick.
No.
You don't all the time have to be hurting. You don't all the time have to be oppressed and everything and depressed and all that. And there's a whole talking about how each part of that he suffered, the crowns representing the healing of our thorns, representing mm-hmm. the healing of our mind, you know what I'm saying? The stripes on his back, the 39, each one representing the sicknesses the world and everything. And you know, but in that, God, I feel my thing was, that was like an extra blessing. You know what I'm saying? That God would do something like that, would come and not only die for us. Because see, Pilate was doing that, but he didn't even know what he was doing. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because Jesus told him, you would have no power over me unless it Amen. Was given to you from above.
Praise
so
God.
He had the power to do those things because it was all lining up with what God did. And not only, it talks about it right there in Peter's time, but it also talks about that same scripture in Isaiah.
Yeah.
It says the same exact scripture in Isaiah. And Isaiah was 4,000 years before Jesus. I think it was 4,000 years before Jesus even came onto the scene. Jesus, Isaiah said the same exact scripture, almost word for word. And then Jesus came and said it in his gospel. Then, as in Isaiah, Matthew, and Peter, all three places, they had that same exact scripture where it said, by Jesus' stripes we are healed.
Yeah, you know, the closest thing is the Mel Gibson.
Gibson, yeah.
Movie, The Passion, you know. That was close to the real thing when they showed him getting whipped.
Right.
But imagine how bad that was. Some people came and watched that.
It was
so bad.
Yeah,
it looked so real. But it was worse than that.
Yeah.
Because in the movie, you could still recognize that actor.
Right? Yeah.
But in real life, they couldn't recognize. If you didn't know they put Jesus and did that to Jesus, you wouldn't recognize him.
Right.
You know?
And you know, Terry, that's how sin is. Sin will turn you into something that people won't even recognize you no more. Right. If you go back, you know, you stop and think about it, a kid. When you're a kid, you know, you're not blameless. But no. You never imagine that people can turn into something like that.
Right.
You know, I see people that when we're childs, and then I'll see them on the streets and everything, and see, I knew them when they was a kid, and they were prosperous, they had everything they could think of, one, you know, or some of them wasn't, you know what I'm saying? But I imagine when they was a kid, if I would ask them, are you looking forward to one day being like this, and then tell them on the streets, right. living in a cardboard box and everything, and they would have said, no. They would say I was crazy because they didn't plan that to happen.
No.
But life just happened to them. But that's the good thing about God.
Right.
God makes a way. Even though you're in that kind of situation, he still can bring you back to where you was.
It really boils down to decisions you make. Your whole life, what decisions you make.
Every decision has a consequence, you know what I'm saying?
But with God's word and his help and being born again, being saved, you know, it says it says your word is a lamp to God my feet. And they light to my path. I mean, I just saw that. And, you know, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Right.
So when you make these choices, you're going to make the right choice.
Right.
And then down the line, things will be much better. You know?
Exactly.
You know? The last one about the candy cane is this. The candy is sweet and reminds us that his love towards us is sweet.
Come on.
And if you look in Psalms 119, 103. And it says, how sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Now it says words, but we know what the Bible says, that what the word, what is Jesus?
Jesus is the word.
Is the word, right?
and how sweet Jesus is to us and everything. Right. So, and, you know, and you know, we talked about it, and you use the candy cane as a good example, you know what I'm saying? Right. And there's a lot of examples when, you know, when it comes to Christmas, because everything in Christmas represents Christ, you know, and everything.
So if this is a great way to share Jesus on his birthday, and just Google it. That's all I did. I Google it, and they gave me all this. You know?
Exactly.
That's an easy way that you can share the good news. Because it started with Jesus' birthday. It was the event. It was just the event.
Right.
You know, people want to say, well, this is a story. Bible, this is a story in the Bible. No, it was an event. It really happened.
Right.
Jesus was really born, you know?
Right.
And that was the beginning. And it went all his life until he went to the cross. And the work he did after the cross,
Exactly. So we challenge you to go out there, do a little research, and study it up a little bit, and you know, use it as a talking tool, you know, because tomorrow is the big day, and big for day. Each and everybody, you know, and it's a choice you each got to make, you know what I'm saying? Because Christ is coming back sooner than we think. It's not gonna go too much longer before Christ comes back. One way or another, we're gonna eventually meet Christ, you know what I'm saying? So we wanna thank all y'all for watching us this year. It's been a blessing and everything. We thank y'all for being there for us. We thank y'all for tuning in each and every week and listening to these messages. And we hope that this next year is going to be even a more of a blessed year for you. That God's really going to pour out his blessings on you, and he's going to open up a whole new level of him that you hadn't yet experienced. So, Father, we want to pray for each and one of our audience like we do every week, Lord Amen. God. And, Father, we just pray for them right now, yes, Lord God, that yes, you bless Lord, each yes, and every yes. one of them, Lord God.
Yes,
that
Lord.
They would have exceedingly abundantly Touch above, Lord, beyond yes, all Jesus, they can ask and yes. think of, Lord God. That they would know you, Lord God, and yes, they would have the opportunity, Lord God, to be able to experience you in a way that they never have, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.